Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anarto Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Madokshaje. Lokasya janato vidhams chakre satvatasham hitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people did not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes His parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, His different energies, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and parts of the plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also. And he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last, he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the names, fame, glories, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotees, He may endow him with His loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is once a mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Udmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Gishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Siddhamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha Kaupa Turubhyasya Kripa Shindu Baye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. It's always more relishable to give these classes when I'm actually in one place for a time, which doesn't happen so often anymore. And I hope that's just a temporary phase of my life. I love staying in one place, become regulated in devotional service, and the best place is Vrindavan. Just by the process of chanting and hearing, and worshiping the deities and associating with devotees, and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, visiting the holy places, there's some entrance into the Dham to really see beyond the external. It's really profound. You see the most beautiful place where others may not see it. Vishyacharya kabe shune habe man kabe hama helebo shri Vrindavan Dham. Saratam Das Thakur says, when the mind is peaceful and you're free from selfish desires, then you can see Vrindavan. And by practicing devotional service here, that's very, very potent. It helps you to actually get that kind of vision a little bit to an extent very quickly. And I do believe the Krishna Balaram Mandir is one of the best temples in ISKCON, if not the best. I have a critical sense of management and organization, but it's just really well organized. Panchagota Prabhu is just a great leader. He knows how to empower people so things actually get done. And the temple is constantly being beautified and organized, and you just feel there's a nice sense of community. You feel a unity among the people. You feel that people are advancing. There's not an atmosphere of politics and Vaishnav aparad that so easily can enter into hierarchical and institutional settings. And I just relish being here. I relish going in the morning to Mangalarti and singing the and seeing the beautiful deities and singing the names of Krishna's pastimes and his activities and his forms, which seem to have so much relevance here. And just seeing all the people that are coming, advancing in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday, Alexandra Forsythe and Molly Davidson came, and so nice to see that people who, from this kind of broad outreach of Krishna consciousness, are following the principles and chanting 16 rounds and so serious about devotional service. And it's just great to see, and it's so relishable also to give my class in the evening with people who are eager to hear about Krishna consciousness. Today, every 3-4 days, because there's different groups, I'm going to nearby to the gardens of Vrindavan, to the Mali, my friend the flower, Wala, and just sitting in his home, basically outdoors in gardens, and just sitting and having Brijbasi rotis and dal, and more than that, seeing the relish of the people who are taking it, and the impact it has on simple life. When I was walking, just some guy drove by, and he had a neem twig in his mouth as he was driving a bike, and I just had the inherent realization. It just struck me. This person has more than anybody in a penthouse apartment in Fifth Avenue. He has more. A neem twig in his mouth. A simple life. Just being there and seeing their kitchen is just a clay stove outside, with the twigs. And it seems so simple. And they produce such great food sitting on the floor without a refrigerator, without, fresh wheat from the field and milk turned into ghee from their cows. And without a refrigerator, without going to a supermarket and buying so many things. Such good food. And it's like, wow, yeah, that's a kitchen. That's all you need. Of course, Prabhupada wants devotees, the workers, when the building of Gurukul were just living in huts, and Hamsaduta, who's the president, said, yeah, Prabhupada, we should live like that. And he said, you can never do it. But it certainly gives you a vision of it certainly gives you a vision of ideal life and simple life, high thinking, you know. Okay, now to the Bhagavatam. Somehow my inspiration has been now just to go through the Bhagavatam. And I was reading different sections. I started now basically from the beginning. And we're already up to the seventh chapter. And Sutta is narrating and answered the questions of the sages of Nandasharanya about the history of the Bhagavatam. He's completed telling the history. But he's right now completing the history of how Vyas became inspired. And there's action. Devotional service is action. It's an activity. There's two things in bhakti. There's the love in the heart, and there's the expression of it. There's a response to love. Otherwise, it's not love. If you feel love, you do something. If you hear knowledge, you do something. And if you have it, you haven't actually fully realized the import of those instructions. So, Narada Vyasa has heard from his guru that in your editorial work of the Vedas, the essence and the main theme of the Vedas is liberation, which ultimately means to attain one's real identity called Sarup, which is an eternal servant of Krishna. And the best way to attain that is to develop love for Krishna. Because that's the nature of one's eternal relationship. Sarup is not just your own form, it's your own identity. And the essence of that identity is love. And how do you develop that love? You develop that love by inspiring that love by a description of the form, qualities, and pastimes of that love. And an attraction, therefore, to the name of your beloved, which is non-different from your beloved, because in terms of the absolute truth, the object of the absolute truth and the expression of the absolute truth, which is the name, is non-different. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam. So now Vyasadeva understood that his task to really fulfill the purport of the Vedas, Vedaista Sarveham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Vid Vedavid Eva Chaham, of all the Vedas I am to be known, that this is the essence of the Vedas, is to present Krishna. And by presenting Krishna, inspiring a desire to realize Krishna, by the process of devotional service, because God is a person, and a person means his heart, his love, his essence, and that's only realized in a relationship with the person. And that's what the process of bhakti is. It's developing a relationship with God by serving God. Without service, there's no relationship. You're not a mother without service. You're not a friend without service. You're not a lover without service. If someone has a relationship with you, but they don't have a desire to fulfill your desires, make you happy, please, or serve you, they are just exploiting you. And those relationships, we see especially with the conjugal relationships, that are not based on commitment and love, they dissipate. Relationships means it's not about you. That's love. Love is about the other. So, this was the instructions of Narada, and Vyas, therefore, would have to re-edit the Vedas, and this is extensive editing, because it entails understanding by people who are not very qualified. The things have to be presented very clearly and directly. And therefore, what Vyas does is he tries to realize his subject before explaining it, because without realization, there's no communication. I've said this many times. Realization is a depth of understanding that gives you the leeway and facility to repackage your message in whatever form is, and language, form and language, is understandable to the audience. Whatever is understandable. So he goes into meditation. And in meditation, in japa meditation, in any type of meditation, any type of practice, there's no realization without concentration. And there's no realization unless the period of concentration is fairly prolonged and it's done without distraction. And it's done in the right mood. Because without the right mood, there's not going to be concentration. Because there has to be some reverence for the object of your meditation, some understanding of its importance, some affection for it, some reason for it, some understanding. Japa's artha bhavana. You have to dwell on the artha or the meaning. So Vyas goes into this meditation and realizes the absolute truth and realizes the cause of suffering, therefore, and the solution to that suffering. And that's really the purpose of Vedic knowledge. What is the cause of suffering and what is the solution to that suffering? Knowledge means to end suffering. There's no other purpose to knowledge. If knowledge doesn't make you happy, it's useless. That's why real knowledge is spiritual. It deals with that conception of who we are and what is harmony, and how do we get situated in a harmonious way? How do we, without that, there's no meaning to knowledge without helping you to get there. Otherwise, what is the purpose? And when you have philosophies like existentialism, where the result of knowledge is further depression, why? What is? How does it help you to understand it? Basically, how does it help you to? How does it understanding it actually help you? So he sees the absolute truth, and he sees that the reason why one can't understand the absolute truth is God's external energy, his illusory potency, which fulfills the living entity's desire to be separate from God by the illusion that one is separate from God, which means I am material. And the concept of the body and attachment to the body is only the concept of false ego. It's only the concept that I am the that I should be the center, I should be the enjoyer, I should be the controller. That's the only cause or reason for the body. And the body therefore represents that. And to follow the body without restriction reinforces that. And therefore, that's the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is an identification with something that is the identification of the self with something that is temporary. And changing beyond one's material desires. It's changing beyond the concept that I, the controller, and the enjoyer. You identify with the body, I am the enjoyer, and it gives the illusion that you can do so, but in fact, on the superficial illusory platform, you can enjoy it. Because that's a fleeting, temporary thing that's always changing, which you actually have very little control over. I went on Gobernan Prikram the other day, which is another opulence par, super par excellence of Brudge. We went just at the right time. We walked halfway around and we saw the blue cows and we just chanted the whole way. It was just so wonderful. And one person, there's only five of us, and one person that, anyway, I had met in Moscow, and somehow didn't know them well, but they remembered some instruction I gave them. I barely remember meeting them, but they became a lady and her husband became very famous. As called Shanti People, the name of their band, and they're famous, evidently quite a prominent, famous in the yoga devotee world, very famous kirtan band. And so we chanted very intensely the first, we only went half, so the first half of the half. We just chanted japa. We turned the corner and we did kirtan. And in the half, last quarter of it, I said, you can ask questions. And she said that, you know, my mind is always thinking of my problems. My mind is always thinking of my problems. What, you know, what can I do about it? So what are the cause of problems? Problems means the world moves against your desires. When you have the objective of happiness of the world moving according to your desires, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be hankering. for situations you don't have. You're going to be lamenting for situations that you don't lament, that you lost. So you're going to be hankering and lamenting, and that's anxiety. But that's only on the material platform. On the platform of the soul, you have what you want right now, and you never lose it. On the platform of the soul, you have what you have what you need right now, and you never lose it. You have devotional service, and you can serve Krishna in any circumstance. It doesn't matter how the world changes. It's just a different opportunity for service. And you never lose that. No one can take it away. It's something inherent in you that's beautiful, that you always have in every circumstance. I told the girl very frankly, as long as you have this conception, nothing I can do. You can be in anxiety. So the solution is to fully surrender to Guru and Krishna. I said, so go to your Guru. And she's an aspiring disciple of Chaitanya Chandracharan, who's a guru that preaches in Russia. And I only hear incredibly wonderful things about him. People are just in love with him. He seems to be very knowledgeable, very broad-minded, very cultured, especially in Russia. You know, he's very a deep person. But I said, just go to your guru and say, just please tell me what to do. Whatever you want, I will do. And she looked at me. She said, I'm afraid. I said, well, then I can't help you be free from anxiety because anxiety is due to attachment. And it's not that when you surrender, your attachments are not fulfilled, but the appropriate attachments are fulfilled and the inappropriate attachments you have to renounce. It's not that you have to really give up anything that really has meaning, even your desires, even your talents. So it's this is why we suffer, by this consciousness. It's just our faith. We suffer by our faith. If we have the wrong faith, we suffer. If our faith is as happiness is the controller and enjoyer, then good luck. Then good luck, because you're not. I'm speaking so bold and something like this, but this is what I struggle with. Surrender, and I know it. If I just really want to do what Krishna wants, then my anxieties are over. And just like, you know, you see these people, they're very simple, but they're peaceful to the extent that that's why the modern society creates so much anxiety. Eric Fromm talked about freedom being more than freedom to do something. It's freedom from something, and it's freedom from want. If you don't become free from want, even if you have freedom to do so many things, you'll be in anxiety. You have to become detached by the So he says, so now these material miseries, you know, the realization we gods have, which are superfluous to us, can be mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. Because when we link with God, when we link with Krishna, and by love, and we desire to serve him, then we're not affected by the dualities of the world and the transformation of the body. Because the transformation of the body is for, well, the material world is for two things. It's for bhoga, enjoyment, and moksha, liberation. So the material miseries are superfluous. They don't happen in us. The more we act on the platform of the soul, the more we act on the platform of the soul, the more we will identify with the true self. And the more we'll become detached from the false self. It's very simple. This is the process. Narada told Vyasa this is the process, and now he's seen the absolute truth, and he sees it very, very clearly. Just like I was reading in the Bhagavatam, I read it every morning when I wake up for a half hour, at least I've been doing it for the last week or so. And the analogy was that the queens of Dwarka were in separation from Krishna, and they became relieved when Krishna came back. And relieved is our true nature because we're part of God. So when we are connected with God, by realizing our connection with God, by realizing that we're part of God, by desiring to be part of God, by desiring to serve God, then when we realize that, then our true nature of service and love becomes manifest. And Prabhupada gave a simple example that sun particles are part of the sun. But their potency is only in connection to the sun. So when they're connected to the sun, they're effulgent. They're the nature of the sun. So when we're connected to God, by the linking process of devotional service, our true nature as servants and lovers of God manifests. And we become happy. But the mass of people did not know this, and therefore Vyas compiled the Bhagavatam, and this is what the Bhagavatam teaches. This is God. We are related with God, hear about him, become attracted to him, become attracted to serving him, be attracted to being your real self, which is a part of God and meant for love and service. And your suffering will be mitigated because all your suffering is due to your attachments to be separate from God. We have to surrender. We have to let go. We have to go with the flow. So Vyas saw all this. Verse 7. Yasyam vai shrutyamanayam krishne paramapurushe Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsa Shoka Moha Vyapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fear for it. Simply by giving reception to hear what we are hearing now, the feeling for devotional service comes. And then there's no more lamentation, there's no more illusion, there's no more fearfulness. We're satisfied with ourselves. Hi, Bo? Who is it? Anyway. There are various senses of which the ear is most effective. The sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of the enemy while awake, but while asleep, one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely getting free from the threefold material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage or illusory things, and he is always afraid of the supposed enemy. These are the primary symptoms of material disease. And it is definitely suggested herein that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And as soon as this is affected, the symptoms of the material disease disappear. Sri Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead, and in this statement, the all-perfect personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is clearly confirmed. The ultimate result of devotional service is to develop genuine love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Love is a word which is often used in relationship with man and woman. And love is the only word that can properly be used to indicate the relationship between Lord Krishna and the living entities. The living entities are mentioned as Prakriti in Bhagavad Gita. And in Sanskrit, Prakriti is a feminine object. The Lord is always described as the Parama Purusha, the supreme male personality. Thus, the affection between the Lord and living entities is something like that between male and the female. Therefore, the term love of Godhead is quite appropriate. Loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. There is no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about him. The Lord is absolute in all respects. And thus there is no difference between him and the subject matter heard about him. Therefore, hearing about him means immediate contact with him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. And the transcendental sound is so effective that it acts at once by removing all material affections mentioned above. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association. And the illusory encagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. Under such false complexity, the living beings under different categories of life become illusioned in different ways. Even in the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms and divides the loving relation with the Lord and therefore thereby divides the loving relationship between man and man. By hearing the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, this false complexity of materialism is removed and real peace in society begins. which politicians aspire for so eagerly in so many political situations. The politicians want a peaceful situation between man and man, nation and nation, but at the same time, because of too much attachment to material domination, there is illusion and fearfulness. Therefore, the politicians' peace conferences cannot bring about peace in society. It can only be done by hearing the subject matter described in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the Supreme Personality of God as Sri Krishna. The foolish politicians may go on holding peace and summer conferences for hundreds of years, but they will fail to achieve success. Until we reach the stage of reestablishing our lost relationship with Krishna, the illusion of accepting the body as the self will prevail, and thus fearfulness will also prevail. As for the validity of Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are hundreds of thousands of evidences from revealed scripture, and there are hundreds of thousands of evidences from personal experiences of devotees in various places like Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Puri. Even in the Kumudi dictionary, the synonyms of Krishna are given as the son of Yasoda and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma. The conclusion is that simply by hearing the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can have direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and thereby one can attain the highest perfection of life by transcending worldly miseries, illusion, and fearfulness. These are the practical tests for one who is actually given a submissive hearing to the readings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, that's the end of the purport. I'm going to stop here. You know, something tells me that the mute and unmute button, well, this last time, somehow other people couldn't unmute their phones, so no one could say hello, and then I was happy that people wrote me that they could hear me clearly. Would anyone like to say hello?
Maharaj,
this is Katya.
Hello. Hello, Maharaj.
Who is that?
Chaitanya Priya.
Chaitanya Priya, thank you.
Howdy, Bo.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yes, Maharaj, this is Katya from Moscow. Thank you so much for the class.
Katya, so loud and clear,
yes.
I'm hearing you. Thank you.
Me too. It was very clear, every word. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Katya. I appreciate that. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Hanan and Surit from Florida. Thank you for the nice class.
Wow, great that you're back on. Wonderful. Thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna
Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
I heard Kala Chanji, Hajjali, Gail. Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Atmananda here.
Hey, Atmananda. Nice to have you back on. Are you back in Ohio now or someplace?
Yes, sir.
Or North Carolina?
I'm in Columbus.
Columbus. Okay, great. Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. I heard one. Hare Krishna Maharaj. The first one was who?
Priya.
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 Oh. Yes, right. From Sayreville, right?
Yeah.
And her mom, Kishori.
Wonderful. Yeah, great. Great. It's so nice. I'm hearing from the children are listening to the classes, because also Lisa from now she lives in Connecticut, and her daughter is Lila Mundry. So she told her mother that she wants me to be her guru. So now they're going to listen on Wednesday night, the mother and daughter. So that's great.
Oh,
so anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
I just see Henry.
Henry, Hare Bo. We'll see you next couple, well, 2 months. Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Nanda Dulo. That's great.
Hare
Bo. Okay, good. Have a nice crowd. Anybody else? Okay. Well, excuse me for no questions today, but I'm just going to go on. I'm just so happy that we got through. Okay. Hare Krishna.